Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find 6 lines from the top. Lo yiskor odom poalim b'shabbos. A person is not allowed to hire workers on Shabbos. There is a pasuk that indicates that one is to cease from his personal or business-related matters when it comes to Shabbos. And Rashi quotes 2 words, mimetzo cheftzecha, a pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Nun Ches, pasuk Yud Gimel. So from that we learn a person should not engage in, we'll call mundane, business-related matters. V'lo yomar odom lechavero liskor lo poalim. And likewise, a person is not allowed to ask of his friend to go out and hire workers for him. Ein machshichin al hatchum liskor lo poalim. The expression machshichin al hatchum, the word machshichin comes from the word choshech. It means to go to the edge of the tchum on Shabbos and wait there for darkness, for the end of Shabbos to arrive, so as you will be much closer to the destination that you're interested in getting at for this purpose, in this case, for a purpose of hiring workers. We should just mention, for those who are not familiar, on Shabbos, one is restricted in the distance he is allowed to travel from his community, or from where the place he established his location upon the entrance of Shabbos. That is called the Mokum Shvisa, and that distance is 2,000 amos, approximately a kilometer. So a person cannot go beyond a kilometer of a city's boundaries. So that if, let us say, a person needs to hire workers, we're telling you here that a person is not allowed to go on Shabbos to the edge of that 2,000 amma mark with the intention of, after Shabbos, going out beyond that point to find workers. Similarly, ulahovi peros, a person is not allowed to be machshich al hatchum, as we said, to wait at the edge of his Shabbos boundary in order to get fruits. And the point is that anything that's usur to do on Shabbos, it's usur to machshich alav as well, to go to the edge of the tchum in order to wait till the end of Shabbos to get to that particular goal. Avol machshichu lishmor umevi peros biyado. A person is allowed to go to the edge of the tchum in order to be close to a place where he has fruits that he wants to watch. And the reason for that is because watching fruits is an activity that is allowed. Now, since his basic intention was to go to the edge of the tchum in order to be close to fruits that he needs to watch, well, once he gets there, umevi peros biado, then he is entitled to bring fruits back from there, since his original intention was not to go to the edge in order to watch the fruits. Klal Omar Abashol. Abashol gives us a rule. Kol she'ani zakai v'ami roso, rashoy ani lahachshich olav. Anything that I'm allowed to say on Shabbos, to talk about, so I am allowed to machshich, to go to the edge of the tchum for that purpose. Rashi points out that he gives a klal in order to add other things like this. So we'll have to see in the Gemara what the intention behind Abishol's rule is, in fact, to include. As we go on in the Gemara, we deal with a topic that we have on the side under our No Say heading, Dibur Ha'asur B'Shabbos, speech that is prohibited or restricted on Shabbos. The Gemara. Maishno hu umaishno chaviro. Why is it necessary for the Mishnah, in addition to telling me that a person is not allowed to hire workers, does the Mishnah need to tell me that he's not allowed to ask of his friend to do the same thing? It's quite obvious. Since you're not allowed to hire workers, you can't ask your friend, your Jewish friend, to do the same thing, because he is just like you, and he can't hire them just like you can't hire them. Omar Rav Papa. This is approach number one, and we've indicated that. Chover Nochri. We're talking about a friend, that the friend in the Mishnah is not a Jew, it's a Gentile, someone who is not commanded with Sabbath, with Shabbos observance. So the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, the novel point revealed is that even though the Nochri is someone that's not Mitzuvah, and is not commanded with regard to observance of Shabbos, you're not allowed to ask him to hire workers for you. Maskif lo Rav Ashi, Amira l'Nochri Shivus. Rav Ashi points out that this is a known halacha. Amira l'Nochri is the request of a Gentile to do something for a Jew that the Jew himself cannot do, is also prohibited. Shvus means it's there's a rabbinic prohibition against that. And that information was already established in Mishnayos earlier. So once again, what do I need our Mishnah to tell me? Lo yomar odom l'chavero. Even if you say chavero is a nochri. Elo omar Rav Ashi, approach number two, and note that this is the beginning of a long answer, and we've marked it thusly on the side of the Gemara. So Rav Ashi says, Afilu temo chavero Yisrael. You can in fact say that the chavero is a fellow Jew. Ha komash malon. The extra point in the Mishnah, the fact that the Mishnah tells me something that's obvious, is really to reveal the following. Ha komash malon. It is coming to tell me the following. Lo yomar odom l'chavero, schor li po'alim. You're not allowed to say explicitly to him, hire workers for me. Avol, omer odom l'chavero. But you can say the following to a person. Hanir'eh shita'amod imi lo erev. Rashi says, Hanir'eh achshov nir'eh im ta'amod imi lo erev. Im tovo elai. So you can say to your friend, I see you now. Will you come by me this evening after Shabbos? And ushnehem yoidim sha'al menas lisochro lefulaso hu maziro. By the indication of one to the other that we'll see you this evening, it's obvious that it's understood, we should say, that he means that he wants to hire him. The kevan de lo meforish behedyo, since you're not saying explicitly, I want to hire you this evening, kele meforish taimo lekamon, dibur aser, here Ramutu, the Gemara explains later that the prohibition that we are discussing here is explicit speech. However, hints, things that are not stated explicitly, but simply understood internally, that's what we call hirhur, that's okay. The Gemara now continues, Umasnisen Moni, Karebi Yeshua ben Korcha. Our Mishnah conforms to Rabbi Yeshua. Desanya, Lo Yomar Odom Lechavero, the Tanakama, the first opinion of this source, is not like our Mishnah, and it says that a person shall not say to his friend, Hanir'eh Shetamod Imi Lo Erev, will you be coming by me? Will you stand by me this evening? Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha Omer, Omer Adam Lechavero, Hanir'eh Shetamod Imi Lo Erev. You are allowed to say to your friend we'll see you this evening. Omar Rabba Bar Bachan on Rabbi Yochanan Halacha K'Rav Yeshua ben Korcha. The Rabba tells us that is the way we shall rule. The Omar Rabba Bar Bachan on Rabbi Yochanan my time Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. And furthermore, what's the reasoning behind his teaching? Dichtiv. The pasuk says Mimtzo Cheftzecha V'Daber Davar. And this pasuk is taught in the context of how one should observe Shabbos. And therefore, it says in this pasuk, "Mimitzo chefzecha v'daber davar." In other words, one should withhold himself from his business needs and speaking about them. And from here we infer, dibur also, hirhur mutter. It's the speech aspect that's prohibited. However, thinking about it is okay. In other words, if one, in the course of Shabbos, has thoughts concerning his business, so that's not what we are restricting. As you can see, we have a bracketed section that lasts quite a few lines, and the length of the bracketed section, you see we have a length indicator to the side of the Gemara text, the dash dotted line. On the side of the Gemara, there's a star that points you to a note. And at the note, we have written, Hasograyim, the purpose of this bracketed section is Kidei Levodei Mahalach Shikor Binyan Hur B'Divrei Torah. We want to isolate a section of Gemara that deals with the idea of Hirhur, internal thoughts about concerning Torah learning. Lefnei Hasograyim HaGemara Hesika She Be'inyan Shabbos Dibur Asur. The Gemara concluded right before the brackets that, as far as Shabbos is concerned, explicit speech about business matters is forbidden. Right after the brackets, the Gemara will ask on that very point, so that this marking is just a wonderful aid in maintaining the flow of the discussion. Where just this last point before we go into the brackets, the Gemara said, Dibur also Hur Mutter. Skip for a moment, and you see at the continuation of the Gemara later, the Dibur Mi Osir is in fact, like you just claimed, Dibur forbidden. And notice how we, with the markings, the dot underline helps you connect the points. We had dot underlined the word Dibur, followed by the word Osir. And here we have the word Dibur, likewise, dot underline. And the Gemara is asking, the Dibur, Mi Osir, is it really so that it's Osir? And there will be a long question that follows from that point in the Gemara. As you can see, that's also marked. Now that the let's say the layout of the land has been described, let's go into the bracketed section. We open the bracketed section with a long question. You can see the long question marking to the right of the Gemara text. Rami le Rav Acho bar Rav Huna le Rava. So Rav Acho raises a question. Mi omar Rav Yochanan dibur asur hirhur mutter. Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that way, that the only speech is prohibited but thoughts are allowed? Almo, if you assume that, if you conclude that way, hirhur lav kedibur domi, then the result will be that internal thoughts are treated differently than actual speech. But is that really so? And within Rabbi Yochanan, the Omar Rabo Babachan Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Again, the emphasis on Rabbi Yochanan. Called bechol mako mutter laharher, in all places one can think in Torah learning. Chutz mi beis hamerchatzu mi beis hakise, except for within a bathhouse or a bathroom facility. Those are considered dirty areas, so you're not allowed to think Divrei Torah. So just, what do we see here? Just, if Hirur is not Kedibur, so why should you be restricted? You're not speaking, and yet we see this restriction. So just like one would not be allowed to speak Torah learning, one cannot think Torah learning either. Showing you that Hirur is equated with Dibur. The Gemara answers, Shiny Hossam. In general, Hirhur is not Kedibur. However, with regard to Torah, that is different. Deboinon v'hoya machanecha kadosh v'leka. For Torah learning, the Pasuk simply says, your camp shall be holy, holy and clean. In the context of Torah learning, there is no reference to Dibur. The reference is made to the place. The place that you are found must be clean. And therefore, if you're in a dirty place, you cannot think Divrei Torah, being that the Torah didn't introduce as a factor speech. If we look in Rashi, across from here, V'yomachnecha kodesh v'lo k'siv bei davar, or dibur. The Torah doesn't mention the term davar, like we had before with regard to Shabbos. We saw the pasuk above said v'daber davar. In the case of Torah, it doesn't say davar. Ela Mokom Chaniyoscha, but rather where you are located, Tehei B'Kedusha, where you are shall be holy. V'taimo, and why is that? Mishum Yisrael Maharin Tomid B'Divrei Torah. That's a wonderful idea that Rashi is pointing out, that Jewish people all the time have Torah on their minds. And the Torah tells us that where a Jew is found, it must be holy. And therefore, if it's a dirty place, so a person must somehow overcome his natural instinct and turn his mind to something else. But that, once again, is only a Torah consideration. But in general, Hihur is not Kedibur. And therefore, with regard to Shabbos, you're not allowed to speak about your business matters, but you're allowed to think about them. The Gemara asks a question. Hachanami ksiv, but with regard to Torah, in the Pasuk it does say, V'lo yireh b'cha ervas davar. So, contrary to what we just claimed, we see that with regard to Torah, the word Dovar does apply. And if Dovar appears, that would mean only Dibor is prohibited and not Hihur. The Gemara says that we can't accept that question, because the Pasuk, V'lo yireh b'cha ervas davar, is needed for something else. So it's not here to emphasize speech as opposed to hear, but rather for a different halacha. Hahu mi boyale lichad Rav Yehuda. This pasuk is needed for Rav Yehuda's teaching. Yom Rav Yehuda, ove kachavimu mazalos akum orum, a naked idol worshiper. Also likros kriyashma kegnegda. One is not allowed to recite the kriyashma in his presence. The Gemara asks, "My Irya Akum, why should Rav Yehuda speak about an idol worshiper? Afilu Yisrael Nami, even a naked Jew would be the basis of prohibition." So the Gemara says, "Of course, Lo Mibaya Komar. I don't have to tell you that. That's obvious. Lo Mibaya Yisrael De Aser. I don't have to tell you about the prohibition of reciting Kriyashma in the presence of a naked Jew." Aval Akum. However, when it comes to an idol worshiper, the Torah refers to idol worshippers as flesh of donkeys, as basically as donkey flesh. So we know very well that a person can recite the Kriyat Shema next to an unclothed donkey. Amol Shapir Dummy. So I might have thought that it's okay to recite the Kriyat Shema in the presence of a naked idol worshiper. Komash Malon. Therefore, I need this pasuk of V'lo Yireh B'cha Ervas Davar to tell me not so, that a naked idol worshiper is different than an unclothed donkey, and hence forbidden to say Kriyat Shema. The Gemara asks, "Ema hachinami?" Well, say in fact, like you suggested, that the akum orum is like a chamor, is like a donkey. Omar Kral. So the pasuk says, "Ve'ervas avihem loy ro'u." This is in the context of Noach. Noach was Noach of the flood fame. He was not a Jew. He was not considered a Yisrael. He was considered in the realm of a non-Jew. And yet, the Torah describes Noach as having something called erva. Erva would be, we can use a general term, of immodesty. So that the concept of immodesty applies to a non-Jew as well. And therefore, the Havamina, that Asher B'sar Chamor B'soram, that idol worshippers are characterized as donkeys, is simply not true with regard to the allowance or a possibility of reciting Kriyat Shema in their presence when unclothed. As you can see, the brackets at this point closes. We also have a little arrow to draw your attention back to the previous arrowed line, where we had above concluded that speech of business matters on Shabbos would be prohibited. Here the Gemara asks, "V'dibor mi osir?" Is that really so? And note, we have a long question, and that you can see to the side of the Gemara text. V'ha Rav Chista v'Rav Amnuna de'amri travayhu. Cheshbonah shel mitzvah mutu l'chashem b'Shabbos. All kinds of calculations, cheshbonos, are calculations that are mitzvah related, are mutter to to make on Shabbos. And in making these calculations, you will be speaking, and you'll see all kinds of matters that are financially related that are mitzvah-based, so one can calculate on Shabbos. The Amar Rav Elazar, and as we said, this is a long question. There are a lot of examples in this long question, but the basic idea we have already said. Rav Elazar says, Poiskin stokim lania b'Shabbos. One can levy a charity tax on the public for the benefit of the poor, and they can levy this charity tax on Shabbos. The Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mifatchim Pikuach Nefesh Upikuach Rabin B'Shabbos. One can develop methods of saving lives and methods of public benefit. Pikuach Rabin is public benefit issues on Shabbos. V'ochel lebatei knesius lefakech al iskei rabbin b'Shabbos. And one can attend a shul, to go to a shul, which is a public assembly point for iskei rabbin, for public purposes, for things that benefit the public. V'yom rav Shmuel bar Nachmeno Rabbi Yochanan hochel letar tios ulekar kesois ulevesukois lefakech al iskei rabbin b'Shabbos. Tartios is, these are different structures where the public would gather, similar to words that we are familiar with. Something like tartios might be like theaters. Karkusos might be something like a circus. If you tweak the word circus and pronounce it phonetically, the hard C, you'll get something that like comes out like this word, kirkusos. The term basilkois reminds you of maybe of the word basilica. Again, all these are large structures where there would be public assemblies, lefakech l'iskei rabbin b'Shabbos, for the purpose of benefiting the public. What took place is that you could have a general town assembly, and you would have to have Jewish representatives to be present there to defend or ensure the benefit of the Jewish community. And all of this is taking place on Shabbos. V'tana debei Menashe, the following Tanaic source, says, Meshadchim al tinokos li'ores b'Shabbos. Meshadchim has to do with creating marriages. Tinokos are young people, so you can have parents, for example, meeting with one another to establish how much they will spend, how much they will give toward the wedding of their children. V'al ha-tinok l'lamdo sefer, and you can hire someone to teach your child Torah learning, private tutors, ulalamda umanus, and even to hire someone to train your child in a means of income, in a craft. And all of this is throughout this whole long question, this involves speech and discussions concerning finances, and all this is allowed. So how can you say before that one is not allowed to speak concerning business matters on Shabbos in the context of, let's say, hiring workers? Here we have all these matters that are discussed where money is mentioned, and it's quite allowed. The Gemara answers, Omar Kro, Mimso Chafotzecho, Cheftzecho V'daber Davar. Notice we've emphasized with our marking the Chof. This is the possessive. Your needs are what is restricted in. And not mitzvah-related needs. Let's see the Gemara. Cheftzecho asurim. Something that's of a strictly personal nature is what is restricted. Cheftze shomayim mutarin. However, things that are cheftze shomayim, heavenly needs, that is allowed. And if you go back over all of the things that were mentioned in this long question, you'll notice they were all tied in for called heavenly purposes. That which is for the public welfare is not a personal need. That which is needed for the marriage of children or for the hiring of a private tutor to teach your child Torah, again, there's a heavenly purpose involved. And Rashi points out even hiring someone to teach your child a craft is also a mitzvah that is upon a parent. So being that it falls into the realm of a mitzvah, is called heavenly, and it's not part of the restriction of Chefzecho, which, as we said, is in the possessive, your needs. So it's not considered my personal need, therefore it's not part of the restriction. We continue in the Gemara concerning prohibited speech, prohibited cheshbonos, the Gemara. Omar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, cheshbonos shel. Now, how to read this Gemara is totally on which girsa you accept. So you have cheshbonos shel melech, or ma lecha, v'shel ma bekach muter lechashvon b'shabbos. If we take a look at the Rashi, Shel Melech, Shel Eitzo She'eno Shelo, the Ein Tzorach Bekach, discussions that are not for your personal need. Melech has to do with counsel, and the Marsha explains where the word Melech comes from in the context of counsel. So it's counsel that's not for your purposes, and that's something you don't need. Kagon harotze livnos bias kach v'kach tzorach lahotzi bo. The li nira, the Rashi says kamo ma lecha. Ma lecha lecheshbonis halolo hare ein tzorach ben lo lecha v'lo la'acher kagon ha'hi depreciates. In other words, if a person wants to just discuss with his friend how many workers and how much money is needed to build a house, you don't need the house. You're just discussing the real estate market in your area when you have no interest in it for your own purposes. So that's what is meant by ma lecha or ma bekach. As Rashi said, of what need is it lecha for you? You don't need it, and therefore it's allowed. We continue in the Gemara. Tanya Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source, and we're calling this number one. And the use of this number will be of benefit later in the Gemara. Cheshbonos she'ovru v'she'asidin liyos osur l'chashbon. There are cheshbonos that are called ovru and osid, past and future. We'll explain this a little further later in the Gemara, but here is an example of cheshbonos that are prohibited. V'shel ma l'cha, v'shel ma b'kach muter l'choshbon. The reason we're bringing the Bryson for right now is this end point, that cheshbonos that are malacha or mabakach, those are muter to make, to calculate, to speak about on Shabbos. The Gemara then, now at the top of Omid Beis, you can see there's a number two, the Raminu. We raise a contradiction from another source, and source number two. When we get to the end of source number two, you can see it's framed off. The Gemara will ask, Ulitameich, according to you that are asking from source number two a contradiction, Kash Yaloch Hi Gufa, source number one is inherently problematic. At this point, we're going to now go back over source number one through the Rashi, point out the inherent difficulty, which is what the Gemara says exists, but the Gemara will then answer that later. In other words, we have to sort of keep track of what we are doing at each point in the Gemara. So let's go over what we've done. We had Shmuel telling us, Reviewed, quoting Shmuel, that Cheshbonos shel malacha and mabakach, Cheshbonos that are not of a personal need for you, those kind of calculations, even though it concerns money, are allowed to be made on Shabbos. The Gemara then brought source number one, saying Tanya Nami Hochi, a Tanaic source supporting this teaching of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Now we continue with the Rashi on that source. And the Rashi is simply found at the top of Omid Beis. V'shel Mabakach, we said calculations of this nature, Kagon Shekvar Hoyu Litzorech Elo She'ovru. Calculations that were once of of a personal need, but they are no longer. They are in the past. Kagon, for example, kach v'kach hutzesi b'binyan zeh. Person says, I spent thus and thus amount of money in building this house. Cheshbonos she'avru. This term of cheshbonos she'avru, you'll note, we saw this at the bottom of Amud Aleph, and the Gemara said, or the Tanaic source said, cheshbonos she'avru were forbidden. Rashi says, cheshbonos she'avru lekamon muki la. Later, the Gemara will explain. Now, there's a problem. Just note the line, the top line of Rashi. Describe the cheshbon shomabekachas shekvar hoyu. That means elos she'avru. They were necessary, but they're past. They're past. It's thing of the past. Those were allowed. And now we have a source. The same source said cheshbon she'avru are not allowed. That is what the Gemara will ask after the next Tanaic source. Namely, source number one appears at this point to be inherently contradictory. At the expense of sounding a bit repetitious, we just have to go make sure that things are clear. Rav Yehuda Mishmuel said that Cheshbonos shel Malacha and Mabekach are allowed. The Gemara brought a source to support that, and in fact we saw in the text the source does support that. The source, and we're calling source number one, mentions also that Cheshbonos she'avru are forbidden. And now we continue in the Gemara at the top line, Viraminu. We're going to raise a contradiction. Choshvin cheshbonos she'enon tzrichin, v'ein mechashvin cheshbonos she'tzrichin b'shabbos, ketzad. One is allowed to speak about calculations that are not necessary, but one is not allowed to make calculations that are necessary. Ketzad. Omer Adam lechaveru, kach v'kach po'alim hiskarti al sodezu. A person can say to his friend that I hired thus and thus a number of workers for this field, kach v'kach dinrim hotseisi al dirazu, and such and such amount of money I spent for buying this apartment. These are examples of cheshbonos she'avru, past cheshbonos, and they're allowed. Avol lo yomar lo kach v'kach hotseisi. V'kach v'kach ani osid lahotzi. But you're not allowed to say, such and such I've spent, and such I still need to spend. So, in looking at this, what we call source number two, what does source number two hold about cheshbonos she'avru? It said just the second to last line, and it actually wrote in between the lines that this source, if it's past tense, past expenditures, one is allowed to talk about on Shabbos. What did source number one say about past expenditures? So you have to look back at the beginning of the source number one found at the bottom of Amud Aleph, and it said at that point that Cheshbonos she'avru was Osur Lachashvan. Those are the past, those past expenditures are forbidden. By the way, take a look at the arrow that you may notice to the immediate left-hand side of the text. And there's a little indicator that it's says Omid Beis. So if you look on the top part of Omid Beis, you see the corresponding arrow indicating Omid Aleph. And it points to the write-in between the lines where we wrote there, Amo Cheshbonos she'avru mutarin. On the bottom of Amud Aleph, we saw, and it's dashed underlined, that she'avru are usr. That's a contradiction. Before dealing with that, the Gemara goes on and asks, Lutameich, according to you who are trying to raise a question on source number one from source number two, Kashya lohi gufo. Source number one itself is inherently contradictory, and we took pains to point that out already. Namely, at the bottom of Omid Aleph, we see she'avru are aser, and at the top of our Omid here, cheshbonos shel mabekach are exam, and we saw that that meant she'avru are mutter lechashvan. What do you make of that? It's all within the same source, and it's contradictory. Ella ha diika agro dagiro gabe ha daleko agro dagiro gabe. The case that's forbidden is the iko agro dagiro gabe. That means that I am in fact mentioning past expenditures, but I still have outstanding debts on that particular matter, that particular effort. So that if I've spent a certain amount, but it's only a partial amount on building a particular house, and I still have outstanding debts leading to its completion, that is what's forbidden. However, if something is totally past, that's the leko agro dagiro gabe. You have no more debts concerning the issue that you're dealing with, whether it be the house that you built or some company that you purchased or whatever, and you have no more debts concerning it, and you're simply telling your friends how much you spent on it, and you don't have any more debts, that is allowed to be mentioned on Shabbos. So with that answer, basically everything falls into place. And that is, in source number one, cheshbonos she'avru are aser, those are past expenditures one's not allowed to talk about when in the context of those past expenditures you still have outstanding debts. In source number two, that point was fairly clear, because source number two said you can tell people how much you spent on a particular house, but you cannot tell them how much you spend and how much you still need to spend, indicating outstanding debts. Continuing in the Gemara, Ein Machshichin. This had to do with the prohibition of going to the edge of the distance you're allowed to travel on Shabbos, and to go to that edge, called the edge of the Tchumis, is what we've said. One's not allowed to do it if you're doing it for purposes that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos itself. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a source with a little story in it. Maisi b'chosin echad, an incident involving a pious individual, shenifritzolo peretz b'soch sodeu. A breach developed in his field. The field was fenced up, and the fence developed a breach in it. Vinimla cholel de godra, and he decided that he needs to build it up. Viniska shishabbos, and then he remembered, well, I can't build it up, it's Shabbos today. Vinimna oisechosu velo godra, and as a result, he restrained himself and didn't build up the breach. Vinasilo neis velsilo tzlaf, and a miracle happened, and a tzlaf is a type of plant. This plant grew. Rashi says, "Slav ilon godol hu ubal anofim harbe." It's a large tree with that's very branchy. If those of you who remember Maseches Brochas regarding the slav, it was mentioned that there are three elements that are edible with regard to the slav plant. And the three edible elements are the avionis, kafrisin, and ulovin. So this chassid who held himself back from building up the breach on Shabbos, the breach was nevertheless repaired miraculously by the growth of this slaf tree, and umimeno hoisa parnosos, uparnosa sanche, based on from that he derived an income for himself and for his family. As we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side under our nosei, our topic heading, Heter Dibor al Dvorim Lemochor Ulahachshich al Atchum Avur Dvorim Shikayim Efshus Lasoisim Hayom. We will discuss the allowance, the permission of speaking regarding matters that are relevant for the next day. So on Shabbos, you're going to be talking about things that are relevant for Sunday. And we'll also speak about a heter to go to the edge of the tchum for things that you could do on Shabbos itself. The Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, mutar l'adam lomar l'chaveiro. One can tell his friend lekrach ploni ani holech lemochar. Tomorrow, on Sunday, I am going to such and such a place. Now, why is it mutter to say on Shabbos about your planned Sunday trip? Sheim yesh borgenin holech. Now, as far as getting to a faraway location, so we said earlier there's a problem of something called Tchum Shabbos, that one is restricted to stay within 2,000 amos of his Shabbos location. Borgenin are, we'll call them huts. They're, if you have a settled area, and that's your location for Shabbos, and beyond that settled area, there are huts at a distance, one from the other, of no more than 70 amos. So imagine a chain of huts beyond the city, lasting for many, many miles. Each hut is within 70 amos of the next one. So if you have a situation like that, the city boundary continues and continues to the end of the chain of huts. And therefore, in theory, if you had huts leading from one city to the next city, even that next city is far away, you could get to that next city on Shabbos itself. That's what the Gemara means in this very short sentence, She'im yesh burginin holech. Rashi, She'im yesh burginin, may ayin amo la'ayin amo holech, from ayin is 70 amos, within 70 amos, you can go afilu b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos you could go from one city to, you can walk many miles on Shabbos, provided you've got this chain of huts. Shehakol choshu kir achas, the whole, this whole chain is, makes the area considered one city. V'chol ho'ir kedalet amos, and in halachic terms, a metropolis can be considered like your four amos, your personal domain. Kidamrin be'erevin v'kivon de'u dover sheyesh lo heter, since travel from one city to the next, as far as when we say travel, when you, we're talking in terms of distance restrictions, is something that is possible. So to do on Shabbos, reading, let's read that line again. V'kivon de'u dover sheyesh lo heter ayde takona b'Shabbos. Ayde takona is a reference to the Borgenin. Mutu la'omro afil b'mokom she'en shom ha'heter. Therefore, even if you're in a location and there is no chain of huts from one city to the next, since in theory there could be this chain, so the action or the idea of walking from one city to the next, as far away as it may be, since in theory it could take place on Shabbos if there would be these huts, so therefore even in the absence of the huts, one is allowed to mention that you are traveling to this other place, mention it on Shabbos, that you're going to travel after Shabbos to that place. Let us continue now in the Gemara. You'll notice that we have triangles. The triangles are going to be raised. We're going to be raising questions on that which we've just learned. On the side of the Gemara, you can see under our Mivne heading, the triangle is featured. Shalosh kushios mimekoros al hai klal. We're going to raise three questions from sources on the rule that we just taught. So now the Gemara. Tanan, ein machshifin ala tchum l'skor poyalim ulahavi peros. One is not allowed to go to the edge of his tchum on Shabbos for the purpose of hiring workers. That means that after Shabbos, you'll be much closer to get to workers that are beyond the tchum that you'll want to hire. And you cannot go to the edge of the tchum to bring fruits. Because bringing fruits on Shabbos from outside the tchum to where you are is something forbidden. So you can't draw yourself closer to the fruit location on Shabbos. The Gemara. Bishlamo liskor poyalim de b'Shabbos lo motzi ogar. I understand that you're not allowed to be machshich al atchum to hire workers, because hiring of workers on Shabbos itself is something that's not allowed. Elalahavi peiros. But as far as going to the edge of the tchum for the purpose of bringing fruits in, lema, why not say, like we said just before, you'll notice we dashed underline a couple lines up, she'im yesh, because of the theoretical possibility of having huts. Say the same thing over here with the fruits. Lema, she'im yesh sham mechitzos, maybe. If there would be mechitzas, what's the problem of bringing fruits from beyond the tchum to where you are? You're carrying items in an open area, and that's there's an iser of hoitzah. There's an iser of carrying things in an open area on Shabbos. But is it not so that if there were walls around the area, you could bring the fruits? You're allowed to carry things within an enclosed area, so. Since there is, in theory, the possibility of bringing the fruits, if there would be mechitzas in that area, so why can't I go to the edge of the tchum? So our question is on what Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel said. Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel said that if something exists in theory, then you are allowed to do, or in Shmuel's case, you're allowed to talk about it. Here, in the case of the going to the edge of the tchum, you should be allowed to go to the edge of the tchum because of the theoretical allowance that exists. The Gemara answers, Mishkachas law, the source that we just featured, I think it's really our Mishnah, in triangle number one, can be understood bePeros HaMechuborin, when you're dealing with the bringing of fruits that are currently attached, so that the Isser is not an Isser of Hoitzah. It's an Isser of Ktsira, an Isser that has no Shabbos solution to it. And since it's impossible to bring connected fruits on Shabbos, so it's Usser to go to the edge of the Tchum to draw you closer to that point for after Shabbos. Question. V'altani Rav Hoshaya, ein machshichin ala tchum b'havi teven v'kash. One's not allowed to go to the edge of the tchum for bringing teven and kash. Bishlamo kash, mishkachas lo, the mechubor kash, is associated with straw. Straw is something that can still be in a growing and an attached form. Ela teven is that which one cuts away at from stalks of grain. The stalk, after you remove the top of the grain from the top of the stalk, where the actual kernels are, the teven is that which remains. So with regard to the teven, why should there be a restriction? The Gemara answers, betivno sarya. It's rotten tevin. Rotten tevin is muktza. And therefore, it's not something that can be moved on Shabbos. Therefore, you can't be machshich al hatchum for it. Toshma, machshichin al hatchum, and by the way, just note that this is a long question. It says in this source, "Machshichin al tchum lefakeach al iske kalov v'al iske hames." One can go to the edge of the tchum for matters related to a bride and matters related to the dead. These are called chefse shomayim. These are not personal needs, but they're mitzvah related needs. Let's now read the inference. Al iske kalo meis in, for those things, yes, you're allowed to machshich al atchum. Al iske achir lo, but things that are like kalo meis but not exactly, that you're not allowed to be machshich al atchum. What do we mean, things like it but not exactly? So the Gemara explains, bishlomo achir dumya de kalo. Another purpose that's not bride related but is similar, mishkachas lo lemigzo le asa. Asa is a myrtle branch. A marriage canopy was made often by using myrtle branches. So if your purpose on Shabbos is going to the edge of your tum to cut myrtle branches for a marriage canopy, that would be allowed. But if it's for cutting myrtle branches because you like the fragrance and you want them for your own personal needs, so that's the inferred case from this source that you're not allowed to be machshich al hatchum. Elo mace my nihu. What is the case of mace that the source taught iske mace you're allowed to machshich al hatchum, but something that's like the mace, but not for a mace, would not be allowed? What case do you have that could be of a personal nature that you would do for a mace as well? Answer, Lahavi loy aroin v'tachrichin. An aron is a coffin, tachrichin are shrouds. So, v'katoni, mace in aval acher lo. If it's a matter of a coffin for a corpse, and it's shrouds, so you're allowed to go to the edge of a tchum on Shabbos in order to get closer to the place where the Aron and Tachrichin are. Because those are things you need for a mitzvah purpose, for taking care of the corpse. Avo acher lo, but if, let's say, you have to go you need a box. It's not a coffin for a corpse, but you need a box. A box is like a coffin, but it's for some need other than a mace. Or you need fabric that's something other than shrouds. You don't need it for a corpse, you need it for some other purpose. That would not be allowed. Well, v'amai, why would that not be allowed? Lema shim yesham mechitzos mevi. Why not apply the principle that Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel was trying to tell us, that if something exists in potential, then you are allowed to do that particular issue, if whether it's talking about it or being machshich over it. So why not say that you could be machshich al atchum to get a box or fabric, because if there would be mechitzos, you would be able to carry it in from that point on Shabbos. The Gemara answers, mace nami mishkachas lo. The case of the mace of the corpse is not a function of bringing a coffin or shrouds, but rather it's lemigza le glima. It's to cut fabric for making shrouds. So, if you're going to be machshich al hatchum because you want to get close to the shop in which they make shrouds by cutting fabric and fashioning it for shroud purposes, that you'd be allowed to do. But to go to the edge of the tchum to get near a shop for making fabric for other purposes, that would not be allowed, because making fabric or fashioning fabric on Shabbos has no heter aspect to it. There's no way to do that be heter. So, looking over this sugya, we saw the teaching of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that from which we learn that you have a heter to speak about things and also to be machshich al hatchum for things, for purposes that would be allowed to be done on Shabbos. And when we say allowed to be done on Shabbos, it doesn't mean that in your case it would be allowed to be done, but it means that in theory you could be able to do it. As we went on in the Gemara, we challenged this by thinking we had three sources where we saw things that there was a potential for the action being allowed, and yet you were restricted to be machshich al hatchum. So that the fact that something exists in theory didn't seem to be a basis of leniency. And in each case, we answered that the examples were not things that existed in theory as allowed in the first place, but rather each one were featuring examples of things that could not be done even in theory on Shabbos, and hence the restriction of being machshich for those things. Avo machshichim lishmor umevi peros. We said in the Mishnah that you can be machshich, you can go to the edge of the tchum, because just beyond that point you have fruits that you need to watch or guard. And guarding fruits is an activity that is allowed on Shabbos. And once you got to that point, you can then bring fruits from that point, because your intention wasn't for bringing the fruits. The Gemara asks a question, and the question is a long question, and actually before we learn the question, we glance at the side under our No Say heading, Isser Asiyas Chafotzav Koidem Shiavdil, the prohibition of taking care of your needs before Havdalah. So in our Mishnah, we learned that you can be machshich, you can go to the edge of the tum for the purpose of watching fruits. The Gemara asks, V'afagav delo avdil, is this so even if you didn't make Havdalah? And again, we're talking about going, machshich is to go to the edge of the tum and to be there before Shabbos ends. Well, are you allowed to go there for that purpose even before making Havdalah? The Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Antignus Mishum Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Asur lo li'odom shi'aseh hafotzav koidem shi'avdil. It is forbidden for a person to take care of his personal needs before making Havdalah. And you can see with our double underlining, we're now going to suggest maybe, these are suggested answers, but will be rejected. Hence, the question continues. The chitem of the avdil b'tfila. You might say, well, the person that's featured in the Mishnah is someone who had mentioned Havdalah, the passage denoting the separation, the distinction between Shabbos and after Shabbos, and he recited that in his Shmoneh Esrei. Even though he may have said in Shmoneh Esrei, but he still needs to recite the Havdalah over a cup of wine. And if you say, well, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. It's talking about a person who made Havdalah over a cup of wine. But that's very unlikely. We're talking about a person going to the edge of the tum. That means he's beyond a settled area. He's at the edge of a 2,000 amma mark beyond the town. He's in a field. Are there cups of wine in fields that he made Havdalah over there? So the Gemara answers in answer number one, yep. Tirgumah Rabbi Nosson Bar Amikame de Rava Bein Hagisos Shanu. Bein Hagisos is wine pressing time. Wine pressing time at the season when people are pressing, making wine in their vineyards, so there would be a cup of wine in the field at the edge of his tchum. Omar le Rabbi Abba the Ravashi, Bima Rova Amrinon Hochi. This is approach number two. We had raised the question that from the Mishnah it appeared that a person was machshich al tchum, even though he hasn't recited Havdalah. So Rabbi Abba says that in Bimarov and Eretz Yisrael they say as follows: they recite or they state the following Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'chol. They mention that in a bracha form. They say Baruch Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'chol. Blessed be the one who distinguishes between the holy and the mundane, the avdinon sorfin, and then they go ahead and take care of their own needs. In other words, it's sufficient just to make that one line declaration that gives license for taking care of your needs. Omar Ravashi ki avino be Rav Kahana, havi Omar, Ravashi tells us when I was by the house of Rav Kahana, he would say, Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'chol, umisaltinon silti, and then he would cut wood. And this is obviously talking about a situation where he hasn't even made Havdalah all over a cup of wine. The Rashi points out, under Dibor Masel, the Avdinon Sorchin, it was after saying, Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'chol, we took care of our needs. Fi achar kachonu mevorchen al kos brocha gemura, the Havdalah. And then later on, we would make the cup of the bracha of Havdalah over a cup of wine. And all the more so, if you made your Havdalah, you recited the Atachon Antonu passage in the Shmoneh Esrei, you certainly would be allowed after that to take care of your own needs. And then, later on, make Havdalah over a cup of wine. Klal Omar Abashol, Kol Shani Zakoi Bami Rosso Rashoi Ani Lahachshich Olav. We saw Abashol in our Mishnah giving us a rule, and his rule said, anything that I'm allowed to speak about, I'm allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum, allowed to Machshich Olav. And so Abashol made a rule out of out of this idea of making a connection between that which you're allowed to talk about and going to the edge of the tchum. We can then say that Abba Shaul took the information in the Mishnah that preceded him, which spoke about the prohibition of hiring workers and not being machshich al hatchum for the purpose of hiring workers, and he then made a rule about this. And we should have made this point a little earlier, but in the sugya that featured the teaching of Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, the last sugya from the middle of the Omid and followed by the three triangles, we in effect were dealing with that, where Shmuel said it's mutter to say to someone that you're going to such and such a place because of the potential heter, and then the Gemara's kashas were coming from cases of being machshich al hatchum. So you may have thought, well, what's the relationship between that which Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel taught and the questions that are being raised? So we should have mentioned earlier, but it's better late than never, that there is a connection. The idea of speech is connected to the issue of machshich al hatchum, as we saw in the Mishnah. And that's what we're going to talk about now. Abba Shaul makes a general rule that things that you're allowed to talk about on Shabbos, you're allowed to be machshich al hatchum for that purpose. The Gemara wants to know, Abba Shaul, coming on the heels of previous information in the Mishnah, what part of the Mishnah is he relating to? Abba Shaul, ahei. Ahei means on what is he referring? That he must have heard something in the Mishnah, and based on that, he is making a rule. In order to answer this question, which, by the way, is our topic heading, we have attempts. And under the Mivneh heading on the side, you can see we have a diamond featured, and we've written Gimel Shlovim Kidei Levara Hei Koy Abba Shaul, three stages in the Gemara, starting with the first diamond at the bottom line, and continuing over the next couple lines from the top of Kuf Nun Aleph as well. So what is Abba Shaul referring to? And before we go into the Gemara, let's try to describe what we're looking for. Abba Shaul said what he did in a very clear fashion. He stated it in the positive, namely, that which I'm allowed to talk about, I'm allowed to be machshich al hatchum. So what was said earlier in the Mishnah that would serve as the model or the example on which Abba Shaul makes a rule? We have to make sure, and this we'll see as we go through the Gemara, that things are balanced. So the Gemara, Ilemo Aresha Koi, if you think that he is going on the Resha, the beginning of the Mishnah, where the Tanakamo spoke about a prohibition. What did the Tanakamo say? Ein machshichin alatchum liskor poyalim lahavi peros. That is what the Tanakamo said. And based on that, so Abba Shaul is supposedly presenting his rule. Well, that just can't be. Hi, kol shani zakai b'amiroso rashoy ani b'achashichoso. That's what Abba Shaul actually said, but that wouldn't be a rule made from the Resha of the Mishnah. What should Abba Shaul have said if he was based on the Resha? He should have said the following. Kol she'eini zakai b'amiroso. Emphasis on the negation, that which I'm not allowed to talk about. Eini rashoy b'achashichoso. I cannot be machshir for miboyale. That's what he should have said. He should have presented his rule in the negative. But he didn't. Elo asefa koi. So let's try the following. The sefa of the Tanakama. What did the Tanakama say? Quote, avol machshir lishmor umevi peros biodo. The Tanakama said, one's allowed to be machshich al hatchum, to watch fruits, just beyond that point, and then bring fruits. Well, then, the Lashon should have been different. The Lashon of Abba Shaul, Hai kol shani zakai b'chashichoso, Rashoi ani ba'amiroso miboyale. Notice the dashed underlining. If Abba Shaul is going on the words of the Tanna Kamma that we quoted just now after this diamond number two, then Abba Shaul should have spoken about that which I'm allowed to be machshich over. But Abba Shaul emphasized something about speech, that which I'm allowed to talk about. But the Tanna Kamma in the Seifa spoke about the action of being machshich. And if you want to make a rule out of the Seifa of the Tanna Kamma, then Abba Shaul should have said what we just suggested, that kol sheni zakai b'chashichoso. That's a different verb than that which Abba Shaul actually said, kol sheni zakai b'amiroso. Li'oilom aseifa koi. Abba Shaul is really coming on the heels of the Seifa. The Seifa represented something permissible, something lenient or allowed. And if in fact Abba Shaul is going on the Seifa, then where does Abba Shaul's Amira, where he speaks about Kol Shani Zakoi Ba'amiroso, what is that going on? So the Gemara explains the Abba Shaul Aho Koi. And Abba Shaul, in formulating his rule, is based on an idea that was mentioned by Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel. The Omar Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel teaches us something that is something everyone, even the Tanna Kamma, agrees with. Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel says, Mutul Odom Lomar Lachavero, a person can tell his friend, Shmor Li Peros Shebetchumcha. You have two people that each one has a different Shabbos boundary. The people featured in Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel's halacha have different Shabbos boundaries. So Mr. A has fruits that are within the Shabbos boundary of Mr. B, and Mr. B has fruits within the Shabbos boundary of Mr. A. So it is mutter for Mr. A to say to Mr. B, Shmor li peros shebetchumcha, watch my fruits that are within your tchum. In other words, you have access to my fruits, and I'll watch your fruits that you don't have access to, but I have access to them because they're within my tchum. So that halacha is something that the Tanna Kamma agrees with. Everyone agrees with that. The Ka'oma Abba Shaul the Tanna Kamma. Abba Shaul says to the Tanna Kamma, who, again, the Tanna Kamma was, he had mentioned that you could be machshich for the purpose of watching fruits. But what fruits? Fruits that someone else had access to, and he himself didn't have access to them on Shabbos. And Abba Shaul says to the Tanna Kamma, Milo modis, the mutter adam lomar lechavero. Do you not agree that it's mutter for a person to say? Notice we dashed underlined the word lomar, because this is the point that Abba Shaul was making in his klal, things that you're allowed to talk about. So don't you, the Tanna Kamma, agree that you can say to your friend, Shmor li peros shebetchumcha, Vani eshmor l'cho peros shebetchumi. Now, you agree with that. Why not make a general rule? The Amar, and from the general rule, I won't be speaking only about hachshocha lishmor, meaning going to the edge of the tchum for watching fruits, but making a rule out of this will be able to extend this idea to all other kinds of things. Things like the mace, and the wedding, the kala, and say, kol shani zakai bami rosso, anything that I can talk about. You can talk about making a wedding canopy. You can talk about making shrouds. So, kol shani zakoi bami rosso, rashoy ani lahachshich olav. And as we said, that will include your halacha of watching fruits and other things as well. The Gemara asks, the term that Abba Shaul used, kol shani, kol is a klal, it's a general statement. And almost all the time, when Mishnayos use expressions like that, it's coming to include something else. So our Gemara here is asking that very question. Klal, which is a reference to the kol word that Abba Shaul used, la'asuye mai, what is being included by that expression? The Gemara answers, la'asuye ha de Tan Rabbanan, it's coming to include that which is taught in the following source. Ein machshichin ala tchum lahavi behema. A person cannot go to the edge of his tchum in order to bring an animal that's beyond the tchum. Oiso medes chutz l'tchum. If an animal, let us say, is outside of my Shabbos boundary, korei lo v'hibo. One can vocally summon it, and it will come. Klal omar Abba Shaul. Kol shani zakai bami rosso. Rashoy ani lahach shicholov. Anything that I'm allowed to speak about, I can be machshich for it as well. Umachshichin lefakech al iske kalo v'al iske hameis lehovi lo aron v'tachrichin. And I can go to the edge of the tchum for purposes of marriage and for purposes needed for the corpse to bring a coffin and shrouds. The omrim lo lech lemakom ploni, and you can tell someone go to such a place. Vim lo matzasa lemakom ploni havei mimakom ploni, go to another place. Lo matzasa bimona havei bimosayim, if you don't find it for 100, bring it, pay 200. Rabbiosi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ubavat Shelo Yazkilo Schumekach. Rabbi Yossi is more restrictive and says you shouldn't mention money amounts, the mona mosayim. So now let's take a look at the Rashi. Klal Omar Abba Shaul, Vahai Nami, the following also Zakoi Bami Rosso. And what is that? Kidakotani Seifa, the Omer Lo Lech Lemokum Ploni, where you are telling someone, go to such and such a place, and if you don't find it there, go. So all that speech is something that's being included by Abba Shaul's rule that he said, kol shani zakoi bami rosso. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.